morning, everyone. Welcome to worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition. And as always, grace and peace and love from our home to yours on this fourth Sunday of Advent, in which we focus on the spiritual theme of love and we explore the call of the angel Gabriel to Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus today, along with a poem, as we have been using Maya Angelou's poetry throughout the journey of Advent toward Christmas Day. So I hope that you are making use of your Advent devotional booklets and finding that useful and formative as we try to find ways to cultivate a deepening sense of spirituality and our connection with God with faith formation at home these days. Well, we are only 5 days away from Christmas Day in a most unusual year. It's going to be, I hope, a meaningful week for you, even though I know we're physically distanced from the ones we want to be with the most. But as we head toward this coming Christmas Eve on Thursday, I do want you to know that we have a very special Christmas Eve service planned at 5 p.m. this Thursday, Christmas Eve, December 24. You are invited to go to the Pine Street Church YouTube channel at 4:45 p.m. So we can chat with one another and have fellowship in a live chat feature on YouTube. I know there'll be a little bit of a learning curve with that. We're going to be sending out a message early next week to give you some instructions on how to do that, but we are going to be using what's called the YouTube Premiere feature video for our Christmas Eve service. And it'll look a little bit different on Thursday, Christmas Eve. So I hope that you will gather at home with your family and join us live, sort of, for our Christmas Eve service. That is 5 p.m., December 24, Christmas Eve. I want to thank you for all of you who have sent in your photographs of you lighting Advent candles during the season. We are so grateful for that. And here are a few more from our Pinehead family that I want to share with you today. Thanks to all of these families who have shared their sacred space at home during the season. And so take a look at these. Thank you so much. It's always good to see one another, no matter how we can, right, during these days. And so we wanted to do that through our worship experience as well online. A few notes, a couple of things. Number one, we are headed toward the end of the year, as you know, and we are running behind about $30,000 or so just in terms of expected pledged giving for 2020 versus actual pledged giving. And so we'd love to make up that gap so that we can fulfill all of our mission and ministry commitments for 2020. And so if you have not yet caught up on your 2020 financial commitment, we encourage you to do so. Our leadership council, as well as we met this past week, taking a look at our 2020 numbers. That's not all of the income for our church, but that is an area of our giving and our faith commitment that we want to grow going forward. So if you could take a look and make sure that you are fulfilling your 2020 commitment, that would be so helpful as we seek to make a strong end to the year and head into 2021 on a strong note. On that note, 2021, if you remember, our New Horizons Stewardship Series focused on that theme as we set sail to new horizons. We've been doing that all through 2020, but we also want to have a strong start to 21 and be able to plan our mission and ministry together in terms of our worship and staffing, our digital programming, our mission commitments locally and nationally and globally. So if you have not yet had a chance to make a 2021 financial commitment, we ask you to do so. You can go to pinestreetchurch.net/giving and make your financial commitment that way. Or if you have a giving card, a commitment card, a pledge card, we all call it different things, I invite you to send that in to the church office at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado. This is such a special and sacred season, and I'm so grateful for all of the ways that you are giving. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update from our Heart for Missions team as well as our leadership council. We have something called the Caring Connections Fund. We spell that K-A-R-I-N-G, K-O-N-N-E-C-T-I-O-N-S. I think I got that right. And it is in honor and named after Karen Hadley Dyke, a longtime member of Pine Street Church and someone who was so passionate about caring for others throughout her whole life. And so we wanted to honor her by naming this fund. This is not part of our operating budget, but I did want to say to you, food insecurity and hunger in our community and certainly nationally right now is skyrocketing. And we wanted to be able to do something about that. So thanks to our Heart for Missions team for making a proposal to our leadership council for unanimously approving giving in the total amount of $16,000 this past week to give to our community partner agencies, including Community Food Share, including a Boulder Bridge House, including EFA, Emergency Family Assistance Association, of Boulder, and Attention Homes of Boulder. All of those causes are going to help feed our neighbors in the community who are hungry and who are suffering food insecurity at a time that is so difficult for so many families. And so I just wanted you to know about that. That's part of who we are, is taking care of our neighbors. That's part of the relevance of church today, of course, one part of it. And so my thanks to those team members, those ministry team members, for helping that happen. And we want to be able to do that with our operating budget too, which is why we are asking to fulfill those 2020 commitments as well as make a financial commitment for 2021. We say that is a commitment that we all need to make, not because the church needs your money, which, you know, in some ways the church does, right? But also it's part of our deciding to be who we are as individuals and as a community, to be generous, to create more beauty and generosity and justice in the world. So I just wanted you all to know about that during this season of giving. So with our Christmas Eve service, we have something called the PIN Fund. It's called People in Need, P-I-N Fund, and we're asking folks to give to that. You'll be hearing more in the coming week about that Christmas offering to our PIN Fund. We're just trying to be creative, right, in a time when so many families and people are in need, and we're hoping to address those on multiple levels. And so I'm so grateful to be part of a generous community like Pine Street Church, where we can live our commitments and live our faith, embody our faith in this season of incarnation. Today, as I mentioned, we'll be talking about what it's like, what it could be like to say yes to God despite circumstances.
Love is a flame that burns in our heart. Jesus has come and will never depart. When God is a child, there's joy in our song. The last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong, and none shall be afraid.
I'd love to begin today's message with this prayer. As the angel startled a young woman years ago with unlikely, surprising news, so, dear God, startle us all over again on this Advent Sunday with your truth and your love. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. My friends, here we are only 5 days away from Christmas morning, in the time when God so loved the world, became true in the most holy and outrageously human way possible. God's motivation, according to St. John, God so loved the world, was love. And love in any language changes us, doesn't it? Love warms us, love wakes us up, love enlivens us, love liberates us, love shows us what is still possible. Love inspires us to be and do what we never thought we could be and do. And love, well, it shows up in the strangest ways. Mystical and magical, messy and mundane. This Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Advent, is traditionally the time when we light the candle of love, which we have today, And today's Maya Angelou poem says some of the words that might be behind that lit candle of love for some of us today when she writes that beautiful verse that you heard earlier, "Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave, and suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free." It is true, love and truth will set us free. But as Southern writer Flannery O'Connor has written, "Before truth sets you free, it will make you odd." And that's the way it is with truth. That's the way it is with love. It can make us odd. And how odd, of all the ways that God could get Jesus born in the world, that God would choose to do it in such an odd and scandalous way. And in a way that the angel would have to say, "Do not be afraid." It's like hearing someone tell us something like, "Okay, before I tell you this, don't freak out." Okay, so I'm already freaking out. It's that physiological feeling of fear when someone says to me, "Hey, I really do need to talk to you." Oh boy. Here we go. And it had to be worse for Mary. She was too young and too unmarried for this kind of news. How could this be what blessing and favor looked like? Why would God make this so difficult? This is how the Son of the Most High is going to show up in the world? By the world wondering how low this could go? The scorn and scandal to be stacked on this young woman, Mary. This feels more like grief than God's favor, doesn't it? Total disruption. This time of year, I know that many of you, many of us feel grief, right? We feel grief of one kind or another. My dear friend Stephen talked this week about the first Christmas after both of his parents died. He said the grief that he experienced was overwhelming. He felt alone, abandoned, rejected by God and life. His faith was shattered. And then on Christmas Eve, he said, "I turned off all the lights except the Christmas tree, and I turned on a CD of the Vienna Boys Choir. They were singing Silent Night. And the sound was as if an angel choir was giving me a personal visit," he wrote. "A new clarity was born. It was as though something was whispering to all of my pain and disbelief. It was saying, believe in good things. To believe that in the midst of pain and loneliness, that it can take the highest level of creativity and spiritual intelligence." He said, "My heartache didn't subside right away, but my trust that good things would happen started growing." And at a heart level, I feel this about Mary too, do you? What heavy news to have to absorb at such a young age. She was maybe 13 to 15 years old, with so much of her life in front of her. Up until now, Mary may have been in wedding planning mode. She was already engaged to Joseph. Mary's plans probably included the typical dreams of every young Jewish girl in her village: find a good and honorable man who shares your faith in God, fall in love, be engaged for a year, enjoy a wedding celebrated by the entire village, have children, work hard, raise your family, grow old gracefully, surrounded by your children and grandchildren, die in peace. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. It's a good plan. But as we all know, best laid plans, well, they're subject to change. Such agony and ecstasy wrapped in one very odd first Christmas package. And God did it through the angel Gabriel, the patron saint of communications, by the way, to say, in essence, I have an announcement to make. You might remember in the world we once knew, when we were at a party and someone taps their glass with silverware, everybody gathers around, they lean forward, they listen in for what's about to happen. We have an announcement to make. That's the way Advent is too. Author Frederick Buechner says, Advent is the time just before the adventure begins, when everybody is leaning forward to hear what will happen, even though they already know what will happen and what will not happen, when they listen hard for meaning, their meaning, and begin to hear only faintly at first the beating of unseen wings. The angel Gabriel startles Mary with the rustling of wings and the surprising news of God's great plan, a plan she never could have known unless God told her. The ancient paintings show it better than anyone else can tell it. This is the moment that must be told with art and music and the language of poetry. That's how St. Luke tells it anyway. And even though St. Luke himself has been said to be a doctor, now is not the time to gather the gynecologists and a bunch of biologists to explain how a virgin could conceive and bear a child. That's not the point of the story. Now is the time to behold with wonder the unspeakable power of God, who designs unlikely plans and asks unlikely people to follow through with those plans. No matter how odd it makes them look, no matter how outlandish it all seems to be, these days I realize we're all numb to so-called breaking news. I mean, everything is breaking news if you watch Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. 24/7 cable news shows make it this way. But the angel Gabriel broke some serious breaking news to Mary in today's gospel, news that no doubt has to startle her and surprise her with a little bit of "do not be afraid" mixed in. Enough to make Mary, and maybe some of us too, believe that our lives are not just happening to us randomly, that our lives are trying to tell us something important, to help us see what's holy about our lives, where once maybe we didn't see anything much happening at all. Even especially when there's disruption going on and when we have made other plans. The old cliche is, life is what happens to us when we are making other plans, that kind of thing. And I know that we all at one time or another get hung up on that virgin birth thing. You know, we want to be dogmatic about it, explain it away. But what about how fierce and ferocious and courageous and gutsy and full of creativity and spiritual intelligence for Mary, that young, innocent, vulnerable girl, that 13 to 15-year-old, hello, to say yes against all odds, against her best interest perhaps. As we talked about last week, if ever Mary thought God's timing was perfect, surely nobody else would. Surely not her fiancé, Joseph. Surely not her parents. And you know how news travels fast in a small town. The neighbors were going to gossip. That image managing thing had to be thrown away. And while she graciously accepts the angel's news, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word," you might imagine Mary's crisis over that Christ child. Such meaning and wonder can take our breath away, for better and for worse. Mary would not draw back from God's proposal to her. Mary would lean in, ultimately, to God's call to take on a journey that was risky, that was uncertain. It was a choice that would redefine her entire life or define her life. You know, parenting is overwhelming enough without having the added burden of mothering the Messiah. And you could understand her fear of change. Mary's plans were thoughtful, honorable, probably made good common sense. God's plan announced by Gabriel was full of risk and sacrifice and disruption, just messing all those plans up. And there wasn't much safe about it. Again, what would people think? Would her parents disown her? Would her, you know, fiancé put her away over this problem pregnancy? The scene is set and Mary has a choice to make, and it's not an easy one. She said yes when it would have been way easier to say no. This week I keep thinking about Mary's yes to Gabriel, well, to God through Gabriel. Perhaps because it was this time of year, Advent, when I first became a dad, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, 12 years ago, 12 years ago on Friday, and the first parenting advice I ever got was, say yes as much as you can so that when you tell them no, they know you really mean it. I've never forgotten that piece of advice. I think it's held true overall. I haven't said yes as much as I could have or that I want to going forward. But I'd ask today, what would it take for you to say yes more? Like Mary, yes to hope, yes to peace, yes to joy, yes to love, yes to that idea that keeps coming back to you, yes to letting go of that old grudge, yes to letting go of that old story that keeps playing in your mind, yes to courage. Think of all the things we say yes to. There's this very unpopular poet that I know from college, who once wrote a poem called Yes, and it goes like this. Yes to the sun, yes to the mountains, yes to the smiles, yes to the road, yes today, yes to your shirt, yes to the saints, yes to onions, yes to the moon night, yes to a detour, yes to the floor, yes to your heartbeat, yes to give, yes to give, yes to your heart, yes to give. What are you ready to say yes to these days? The truth is, if something new is going to be born in our lives, then there are some old things that are going to have to give way, and we will need to say yes to some things we never considered before or never thought possible until now. To say yes when reason or, you know, overthinking would lead us to say, no way. There is a sense of agony and hardship in that kind of process. But there is joy too. There's relief. Just as there is agony in the womb of the woman as she labors and contracts to bring forth new life, God is seeking to give the world some birth too. That beautiful feminine energy of God. And even now, our lives are pregnant still with all sorts of possibilities. The thing about life with Christ is that it's this holy adventure. There's a lot of surprise and unexpected twists and turns to it. Ask Mary about that. We can't know in great detail where our journey with Jesus is going to lead any more than Mary could tell you in great detail the future for her and her baby at this point in the gospel. There's this great leadership book written a decade or so ago called Intuitive Leadership The author's name is Tim Keel. He pastors, or used to pastor, an emerging church in Kansas City, Missouri. He writes, "Not only do we often not know where we are going, we do not know who we will become or whether we will even recognize ourselves at the end of our paths." The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins, says as much. He says to his young nephew, Frodo, at the beginning of the Lord of the Rings saga, "It's dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." Some of us need to be swept off our feet these days. I think the church in America today needs to be and is being swept off its feet. And some of us feel kind of nervous about that. Some of us are excited about that. Some of us might be a little ambiguous about what that means, being swept off our feet. But I'd ask today, what would it take for some of us to change our minds, to change our priorities, to change our plans, especially if those plans are thoughtful and honorable and make common sense? Do we get so stuck with our current game plan that we lose all ability to discern a higher call, a riskier call, or even a greater call? Do we allow ourselves to be stuck in the past without seeing what new thing God wants to be born through our lives? It might feel messy. It can feel scary, impractical. Just too much to handle. Why bother? Not the right time. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the talent. I'm not up to this. Even so, Mary could have, and probably did have some of these emotions and thoughts swimming in her mind and heart. She was processing what could be seen as bad news in a good year for her. There was every reason for her to say no, but she didn't. She said yes. And Mary makes one final push for us to what Dan Levy of Schitt's Creek fame, a great show, said this week. The confusion lies in processing good news in a bad year. What good news has happened in your life in this crap storm of 2020? And what lies ahead? I keep watching these frontline workers get the first vaccines, and it's so powerful to see that there is new life and new hope at this time of year, of all times, that is springing forth. It's happening, and we see it on our televisions. We see it on our social media channels. These frontline workers, these doctors and nurses getting the COVID vaccine for the very first time. And those hopes are real. And there's something powerful and renewing about even watching that this week. And so I just say, what do you say, my friends? I mean, Christmas is the feast in which we celebrate the miracle of materiality, that God loved human beings so much that God became one through the flesh and blood and bones and vulnerability of the baby born in Bethlehem. That wonder is gloriously, at least to me, described in Denise Levertov's poem, The Annunciation, to bear in her womb infinite weight and lightness, to carry in hidden, finite inwardness 9 months of eternity, to contain in slender vase of being the sum of power in narrow flesh, the sum of light, then bring to birth, push out into air, a man-child needing like any other milk and love, but who was God? Take it from the woman who nursed God, who rocked God to sleep, who prepared bread and soup for God, the one who carried Christ in her womb, the one who gave him life and the one who gave her own life to him. Here we are today, this fourth Sunday of Advent, 5 days away from celebrating the birth of Christ. Stay open to surprise. Be ready to say yes, even when you don't fully understand it. Do not be afraid, hear God say again. And if you listen closely enough, you just might hear the holy hush, that rustle of angel wings, as God comes close enough to whisper into our minds, into our ears, a call that alters our course, a call to exchange our good plans for a great life, not an easy life, but a meaningful life, a call to know at last the difference between a blessing and a Christmas present. Is that moment for you and for me right now? That blessing that comes to us, not because it's easy, but because it's good. And for our church, what could that mean as we set sail to new horizons for 2021? I'd say, let God startle us. Let God startle you. Let God shock us and disturb us even. Let us be a bunch of modern-day Marys. What do you think? Saying yes. Saying yes to the most unlikely and disturbing and weird things because it just might be Christ coming to us in disguise. So let us be those bunch of modern day Marys. For the sake of love, let us say with Mary, let it be to us according to your wild and wonderful word, O Lord. For love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare to be brave. And suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free. Amen. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. O Holy Night, you'll be hearing David Lomdua sing that on Christmas Eve this Thursday, but that song, that lyric reminds me so much this week of watching our frontline workers get those first vaccines, some of our political leaders. New hope is dawning, my friends. We're going to come out of this pandemic time. We're going to be together again. But until we do, until we can be safely, we are in this virtual sacred space together, and I am so grateful for it. And I'm grateful for those of you who join us every week or most weeks and are part of this worship experience. I hope it is meaningful to you and is formative in your life. And as always, I like to invite those who are especially connecting for the first time or one of the first times, and you are not normally part of Pine Street Church, if you would write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net and let me know how you're connecting. I would so love to hear from you and to talk about ways you can connect with the life of Pine Street Church. Anybody can become a member of Pine Street Church. I would also love to talk to you about that. Again, write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. We are looking to widen our circle of friendship and connection always, even in digital space. And so I invite you to let me know about that or how our church can be meaningful to you if you're in a time of need, if you are in need of any kind of assistance that we can help you with. You can also write me and let me know. We are a community of compassion and grace, and I know this is a hard time for so many people, and we would love to be able to support you. And for those of you who are Pine Street Church members, that goes for you too. So don't be shy about letting us know where it hurts for you and how this community can be a community of grace. Part of that is always checking out our community care list, our prayer list through the Pine Street Post. My gratitude to our Ministry of Nurture, our Nurture Ministry team that keeps those in our circle at Pine Street Church who are caring and praying for those of you who let us know what's going on in your lives. And so keep connected. We are not alone. You're not alone in this. We are in this together as a community. So don't be shy about letting us know, again, where it hurts. Pine Street Church Post, the Pine Street Post, as we call it, is our main communication gateway in the life of our church for you to be able to connect with our small groups, with our worship, with other things going on in the life of our church, including today at 2 p.m., you are invited by the American Baptist Women's Ministries of Pine Street Church to a Zoom Christmas tea today at 2 p.m. There's going to be music by our music director, Ryan Connell, small group conversations and games, a special reading of Tom Hegg's book on offering opportunity, and all sorts of other things. So 2 p.m. today, the Zoom link is in today's Pine Street Post. You are invited. All are welcome, so be part of that Christmas tea. I like that. Today at 2 p.m. We'll see you on Christmas Eve, 5 p.m., the Pine Street Church YouTube channel. Again, a communication will be going out in the next day or two to give you instructions about how to be part of that. Look forward to being part of that with you as you go out into this Sunday, 5 days before Christmas. It is so important for you to remember who you are. It's so important to remember where you come from. And I use the words of the late, great John Claypool, a Baptist who became an Episcopalian. Imagine that. Who offered this good word to his parishioners through his career. And I offer it to you today in paraphrase form. By the grace of God, you were born into this world. By the mercy of God, you have been sustained even into this very moment. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed now and forevermore. Amen.
No rose bloom from Fragrance.